Unmute, please. Unmute.
Good morning again, and welcome to the United Lodge of Theosophists in Philadelphia. This morning we have a forum, and we are, of course, we're Zooming this forum. But if you are in the Theosophy Hall, you're able to do that on Sundays and on Wednesdays. Now, before we begin, we will read to you why we come together and what kind of understanding we have with each other. So this is a declaration from the United Lodge of Theosophists. The policy of this lodge is independent devotion to the cause of theosophy, without professing attachment to any theosophical organization. It is loyal to the great founders of the theosophical movement, but does not concern itself with dissensions or differences of individual opinion. The work it has on hand and the end it keeps in view are too absorbing and too lofty to leave it the time or inclination to take part in side issues. That work and that end is the dissemination of the fundamental principles of the philosophy of theosophy and the exemplification in practice of those principles through a truer realization of the self, a profounder conviction of universal brotherhood. It holds that the unassailable basis for union among theosophists, wherever and however
Don't hear you.
And it aims to disseminate this idea among theosophists in the furtherance of unity. It regards as theosophists all who are engaged in the true service of humanity, without distinction of race, creed, sex, condition, or organization. And it welcomes to its association all those who are in accord with its declared purposes and who desire to fit themselves by study and otherwise to be the better able to help and teach others. The true theosophist belongs to no cult or sect, yet belongs to each and all. So, stating our declaration, to carry it out, we hold three public meetings. Of course, this one this morning on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12 noon. It can be attended also in Theosophy Hall on 1917 Walnut Street in Philadelphia. Those doors open at 6:30. Now, the subject for this morning's talk is the solar cycle. But next Sunday, at 11 to 12 and 10:30, the lodge opens, but we're also on Zoom. But Sunday, 12:25, the meaning and symbols of Christmas, which we always find very interesting. And Wednesday night, the 21st, we have an ocean class, and it's about the human constitution. And we are going to be looking at astral senses and powers. Now, on Friday evenings, I think Wednesday I said from 7:30 to 8:45, and it's a study class. Now, on Friday evenings, we have a round table where we have open discussion about an article that we share.
Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Yes. Is it number eight or not?
We hear you now.
I can't hear you.
We hear you. We hear you.
My sound must be having a problem. I'm barely hearing everyone. So you can hear me properly?
Yes.
All right. I'll try to keep up with you. All right. So just talk slowly and enunciate. All right. Now, this morning, our presentation is a forum, which is a shorter talk, and then we are open for questions afterwards or comments. So we'll begin by our next speaker.
Before we begin to address this topic, we should address the second proposition put forth by Madame Blavatsky in her masterpiece, The Secret Doctrine. The second assertion of the secret doctrine is the absolute universality of the law of periodicity, of flux and reflux, ebb and flow, which physical science has observed and recorded in all departments of nature. An alteration such as that of day and night, life and death, sleeping and waking, is a fact so common, so perfectly universal, and without exception, that it is easy to comprehend that in it we see one of the absolutely fundamental laws of the universe. Plainly stated, the law of cycles, or the return of that which was before. In the Egyptian monuments, papyri, and other records, the cycles are spoken of. They held, and the ancient Chinese also held, that a great cycle governs the earth. It's called the sidereal cycle because it's related to the stars. The work was so large that it had to be measured by the stars, and that cycle is 25,800 plus years. They claim to have measured this enormous cycle. The Chinese, that is. The Egyptians gave evidence that they had also measured it, and many others, so that in these ancient records, looking at the question of cycles, we have a hint that man has been living on this earth, has been civilized and uncivilized for many more years than we have been taught to believe. The ancient theosophists have always held that civilization with humanity went around the earth in cycles, in rings, returning again and again upon itself. But that each turn of the cycle, on the point of return, it was higher than it was before. This law of cycles is held in theosophical doctrine to be the most important of all, because it is at the bottom of all. It is a part of the law of that unknown deity, which is the universe, that there shall be a periodical recoming from a periodical returning again upon itself. Now that the law of cycles does prevail in the world, must be very evident if you will reflect for a moment. The first cycle I would draw your attention to is the daily cycle, when the sun rises in the morning and sets at night, returning again next morning, you following the sun, rising in the morning and at night going to sleep again, at night almost appearing dead, but the next morning awaking to life once more. this is like our first cycle. You can see at once that there are therefore in a man's life just as many cycles of that kind as there are days in his life. The next is a monthly cycle, when the moon, changing every 28 days, marks the month. We have months running to more days, but that is only for convenience to avoid change in the year. The moon gives the month and marks the monthly cycle. The next is the yearly cycle, one little trip for the earth around the sun. The great luminary, the great mover of all, returns again to a point from whence he started. The next great cycle is that the sun, while stationary to us, is in fact moving through space in an enormous orbit. As he moves, he draws the earth and the planets as they orbit about him. We may say then, this is another great cycle called the sidereal and takes 25,868 solar years to complete. It appears reasonable that as the sun is moving through the great cycle, he must draw the earth into spaces and places and points in space where the earth has never been before, and that it must happen that the earth shall come now and then into some place where the conditions are different, and that it may be changed in a moment, as it were, for to the eye of the soul, 1,000 years are but a moment when everything will be different. This is one aspect of solar cyclic doctrine, that the sun is trolling the earth in a great orbit of its own, and is causing the earth to be changed in its nature by reason of the new atomic spaces into which it is taken. Another one of these recurring events is called the solar cycle. And so what is that solar cycle? Well, the short answer is that the sun's magnetic field goes through approximately every 11 years the sun's magnetic field changes. Our sun is a huge ball of electrically charged hot gas. This charged gas moves, and when it moves, it generates a powerful magnetic field. The sun's magnetic field goes through a cycle, and it's called the solar cycle. Every 11 years or so, the sun's magnetic field completely flips. This means that the sun's north and south pole switch places. And this takes about another 11 years for the sun's north and south poles to flip back again. The solar cycle affects activity on the surface of the sun, such as sunspots, which are caused by the sun's magnetic fields. As the magnetic fields change, so does the amount of activity on the sun's surface. One way they track the solar cycle is by counting the number of sunspots. The beginning of a solar cycle is called solar minimum, or when the sun has the least sunspots. Over time, solar activity and the number of sunspots increases. The middle of the solar cycle is the solar maximum, or when the sun has the most sunspots. As the cycle ends, it fades back to the solar minimum, and then a new cycle begins. In the life of nature and of man, certain days have a special significance. In nature, there are the vernal and autumnal equinoxes, the summer and the winter solstices, and so on. These are conjunctions of cycles. The closing of one cycle, when its influences have completed their decline, and the opening of another, with the rising of its influences. Similarly, there are important Asian national and racial cycles, and likewise in the lives of individual human beings. The Earth's journey around the sun brings us back once more to the winter solstice, the new year according to nature's clock. Each turn of this annual cycle, which is not a cycle, but rather like a spiral, should bring us to a higher level. The winter solstice, also called the hibernal solstice, occurs when either of Earth's poles reach its maximum tilt from the sun. This happens twice yearly, once in each hemisphere. For that hemisphere, the winter solstice is the day with the shortest period of daylight and the longest night of the year, when the sun is at its lowest daily maximum elevation in the sky. Either pole experiences continuous darkness or twilight around its winter solstice. Winter solstice is a celestial occurrence of great significance in most religions and cultures as the day with the shortest period of daylight and longest night of the year. In winter, the sun appears at its lowest elevation over the horizon because the Earth's north pole has reached its maximum tilt away from the star. In modern times, the event generally falls on December 21st or 22nd. Common themes of solstice celebrations are return, rebirth, renewal, and the victory of light over darkness. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Wednesday the 21st of this year at 5:12 Eastern Standard Time PM is the start of the winter solstice. In closing, the sun is the hub of the wheel, the neutral center around which all the planets may dance. The sun asks no questions regarding the use or misuse of its energy, but simply gives it out for each planet to feed upon, according to that planet's intrinsic ability and its distance. From a wider point of view, we can make the observation that the sun also revolves around a still higher center, carrying its brood of planets with it. This should enlighten us to the fact that even more inclusive than the sun is that higher center, which feeds it, as it in turn feeds us. Once again, the topic for today's discussion is the solar cycle.
We live within this solar cycle. So all of us know very much what the seasons bring. Maybe we don't know why, but we do feel a change. During this time of year, we feel a particular change.
Can't hear you.
Hello? Hello? All right. I can't really hear anyone, but I see everyone. If you can't hear me, just wave at me. All right. Where was we?
Influence at this time of year.
at this time of year, there's a natural influence that overtakes this planet in the northern hemisphere. And this is the time of year when it's said that the sun has penetrated the deepest into the earth. And from the 25th forward, it begins to rise again and come out and stirs the earth within and the seeds within. And that this time of year, we don't have to really have anyone tell us, but we're very reflective, very much taken up with family and things. But it's also a time of great questioning, and maybe even loneliness. So it's a time of change, and this change is not outside of us. Yeah, I think our presentation stated very well that there are two suns. There's a suns. There's the spiritual sun and the physical sun. The physical sun lights our outside world. That spiritual sun illuminates our inner world. It is the self of all. What self is that? The self that we are. We are that. So this, as the sun travels within, so do we. We are influenced by the sun every day. And when it disappears, and there's more darkness than there is light, that has an effect upon us. So these cycles, their meaning is in how they affect us. Now, one more comment about what we had just heard is that this sidereal cycle of 25,868 years, it seems like how does anyone calculate that? Well, in the temple of Dendrodon in Egypt, there are plotted on the ceiling three sidereal cycles. That's over 75,000 years. So that makes us stop and think. So we're also told that if the zodiac is divided into 12 portions, so each portion or each sign is 2,155 years. And it's stated that that's about long enough for people to forget. And that's why at the beginning of every entering a new constellation, that there's a master upon the scene, someone to help us back on track and to remind us of what we are and who we are and what is our responsibility. So we could talk all day about the sun. ULT, speak up, please.
Yes, there's a question in Theosophy Hall here. And we sent out a chat just reminding everyone that this Wednesday, the solstice, Theosophy Hall will be resuming meetings live on Wednesday nights, doors open at 7. But we do have a comment from Theosophy Hall here.
We find it very interesting that whenever we talk about these cycles at this time of the year, it's always the northern hemisphere that we're talking about. And we find it curious that the southern hemisphere we know is exactly the opposite. And so, I mean, the philosophy usually talks about the cycles in the northern hemisphere, but I mean, we're just kind of making an observation that, the cycles are reversed, and that's all.
Okay, did you hear the comment, everyone?
Yes, we heard the comment. You know, why does the Southern Hemisphere, why are they not talked about and used as an example of these cycles? Well, there may be a couple of reasons that are all natural and nothing to do with anything other than the physics of the astral plane and the energy that is being generated by the planet. And we find that most of our symbolism and ideas are from the Northern Hemisphere. And again, we have observed that because it is a magnet, if you look at the magnet and how it moves from the middle to the ends or from the ends to the middle, and they always come together at the equator, so they're moving in two different directions. One, the Northern Hemisphere is moving up and the Southern Hemisphere is moving down. So that is one idea. Anyone else have another idea? Yes, SL.
In the talk, there was reference to the various ancient civilizations and the mystery schools that put out this idea about cycles. And of course, they're in the Northern Hemisphere, so it would be natural that the celebration of the winter solstice would be mostly in the Northern Hemisphere. But as was pointed out, there's a spiritual sun and a physical sun, or the two aspects of the same reality. And so that spiritual sun must have its cycle of influence. Wouldn't that cycle of influence of the spiritual sun be felt all over the planet, northern and southern at this time, even if the physical sun's rays are closer to the north?
Well, we would certainly say yes, indeed. We are so influenced. Again, we do not know why everyone is so joyous and so giving this time of year, but there is that influence. And it's physical, but it's also spiritual. It's a spiritual uplifting. It's said that between the winter solstice and the vernal equinox is the most psychic of the earth energy. So during this time, many resolutions are made, and again, a reflection on one life and how one can improve it or do better or just to understand things a little bit more. Any other questions? Any comments? Here's a chat. Does the sun have, I just lost it. That one second. Does the sun have seven principles like man? Does the sun have manus or mind? Well, aren't we told that everything in this manifested world is septenary? So we would certainly use that analogy with the sun. Now, does it have a mind? Of course it has a mind. But it's a spiritual mind. It's from which everything comes. You know, the universe is self-creating from within outward. Any other comments? LRP?
Before we go past the Southern Hemisphere, I can't find it at the moment, of course. It's in the answers to questions on the ocean. Mr. Crosby relates to that exact question on what happens in relation to the winter solstice and the Southern Hemisphere. So if somebody is interested, they should look up, read that whole book. It's good.
Well, what is your comment as far as the Southern Hemisphere and the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, they both experience the winter solstice. They just experience it differently. But my opinion isn't worth anything. It only occurred to me a few years ago that the Northern Hemisphere is sort of left out of everything. I never thought about the fact that the sun never goes into the northern. We have sunrise and sunset, and the north is left out. So my opinion is not worth anything, but Theosophy has a lot to say about it.
Well, that's very interesting. And now I think I'm confused also. ULT, you have a comment?
Go ahead.
I was going to change the subject. If it's okay, we change the subject. We were just curious in regards to, you know, if we know about these cycles, how can we use them to our best advantage then? Because most people don't really, I mean, they'll say, oh yeah, it's summertime, it's winter, whatever. But they don't understand the significance of cycles. So how can we use this knowledge of cycles to our best advantage?
Did we get that comment?
Yeah, I think we got that. And how to be the best that we can be? Well, just do the best we can. Enjoy life. See its value. Be kind. And help as many as you can with your thought, your word, and your deeds. And the cycles, spiritual knowledge, if one applies it, gives us the opportunity to work with the cycle. If we work with the cycle, we are stronger. So what is the cycle now? It's reaching within and coming out, slowly coming out, that we are expressing that true self, that higher sun, that invisible sun. So, you know, we have to rise with the cycle, and the only way we can do that is to understand them, both intellectually and physically and psychically and everything. That be the best that we can be, whatever that may be. But it's always, it's a contest of smiles, as Mr. Judge would say. Any other comments? Yes, LRP?
It's that the whole cycle is smiling. If we would consider that we've been crawling or limping along, the cycle is one of power, of thrust, of energy. So we have to consider how we use our energy and use it in terms of the solstice, which is a more generous giving of oneself. So it's the most uplifting assistance we could ever have.
Yes, and we have to remember that we are not on a level plane. We are in a centrifugal force, a spiral. So we're never the same, and we're always moving forward. We need to use that cycle to be aware that we are moving forward and not backwards. So many of our old habits we leave in the past, and we try to move forward with creative new. Okay, sorry about that. We will continue. Can still can't hear me? I can't hear anything.
Can't hear. Can you hear us? Okay. MDW, please continue to try to join us. Would it be okay? Oh, can you hear us now?
Now I can hear you. I was just going to get on my phone. All right, I'm back. And excuse us for the bad connection. We
MDW, if you turn off your video and just turn off your video, we'll be able to hear you better.
Virtual sun, which is behind the physical sun. So that is the sun that we feel. Any questions? Nobody's hands up?
I'm gonna say something, but it's more to do with the technical problem. The participant 215-564-3530 may need to mute their mic because they're lighting up when we're having a problem. So everybody should consider to mute their mics when they're not participating. That can be a problem. It might be contributing to this problem we're having. But that's all I have to say. Thank you.
We thank you because things are difficult as they are. So if we can make it easier, we thank everyone by keeping your mics off if you're not talking. Yes, SL.
Well, it's probably apropos that we talk about making connections at this point because it is difficult and sometimes we lose that connection. This influence from the sun, physically and spiritually and psychically, what can we do in our minds to draw ourselves closer to its influence? Is there a special way we can think about the sun or meditate about the sun or reflect on it that draws us more to its influence? Because like anything else, that connection can be interrupted.
And the word that is often used is the sun is the self of all. And we are that sun. We are that light. We are that spiritual sun in our very nature. However, because we are not aware of it or we do not consider it, by looking at our connections to ourself, how are we connected to ourself? But to the personality, we find that there is that which is never changing, unchangeable. That is what we are. We are that. And, our journey is trying to identify with that all the time and not being so cluttered with personal ideas. Any follow-up? Yes, LP?
We think at least for a moment every day we can stop and consider the sun is more than a physical thing in the sky. There is a spiritual sun, as you indicated, behind it, and it's that that we can try to mentally, spiritually connect with. So moments in the sun and moments in our hearts in the sun can only help us.
Yes, and it's that point exactly, is that we have to identify with that spiritual sun. And where does that spiritual sun live? It lives within us. And it's that eternal fire that we are. They say we're eternal beings. You know, I mean, that's tough for a poor, miserable sinner to understand. But as one considers it more and more, one realizes the truth in that statement. Any other questions? Yes, ELT.
Well, we need to get away from the concept that we are poor, miserable sinners, because it's been ingrained in us. And we may still be sinning, and we may still be miserable, but that's not really our nature. That's not our being. We're divine. We're divine in essence and in potentiality.
As they say, exactly. You're exactly correct. Now, we have a chat. Let's see if I can find it. All right. LP, you have a comment? No, you're just waving at us? All right, thank you. Where or how does the sun get all of its energy, light, heat, etc.? It never runs out of energy. So it goes back to what we are. We are that sun, and all the sun's heat and energy comes from that spiritual sun, comes into manifestation as the physical sun. It's like it's an aspect of it, and that's true spiritual sun has everything within it, every quality, every idea. It exists in total, and that it is eternal, boundless, immutable, and omnipresent. But we are that. So that's all we have to say about that. LP? Can't hear you.
I'm mute.
Thank you. There's wonderful material in the Secret Doctrine on the fact that the sun that we think we see is not there at all. It is a window that allows us to glimpse a corner or an edge of what's really out there. So if you want to be thrilled with the solar cycle, look up in the SD, the spiritual sun, and read about that. You'll never get over it.
Yes. Well, that's always an aid, is to go back to the Secret Doctrine and see if you can research these ideas. In doing that for this class, we came across the idea that there's no fire in the sun. It is as cool as the moon. And that what we see is really the outer layers or the atmospheres around the sun that have that imagery, we would say. So we thought that was interesting. The sun is a magnet. And as said by our talk,
Okay, I'm back.
Hello?
I hear you. I'm good.
Hello?
We hear you.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions? I think ULT had their hand up, or did I see that? When I've gone again?
SL.
SL?
Okay, thank you. In the talk and several times, it was referred that the sun is a magnet, and we think science acknowledges the magnetism, the magnetic influence of the sun. But the sister or the twin of magnetism is electricity. So the sun is a focus or a center of that cosmic electromagnetism. And in the philosophy, electricity, life, light are all the same. One, two, three aspects of the same reality. Wherever we see life or light, there is electricity too. And so ultimately, all that power we feel as light or heat is some aspect of that cosmic life or electricity, whatever, however it is easier for us to conceptualize it.
Yes, we think that idea is that the whole universe is electrified by this force, the spiritual force. And it causes a quickening. So that I think the word that is used in the SD, they call it Fohat. And that's an interesting study, as was recommended by a past comment. WS, you had a question before? No? Okay. SL?
In some of the commentaries of the secret doctrine, the sun is referred to as the elder brother or the parent of the planets, the elder brother. Would that suggest that the relationship of the sun to our earth or planets corresponds to the relationship between the Mahatmas, our elder brothers, and ourselves?
A very interesting analogy. It certainly seems logical that that is a exact way of looking at it, that any other comments?
ULT.
Please, someone else talk.
Can you hear? Can you hear?
I can hear.
We seem to observe that light seems different in the wintertime. The quality of the light. To us, it seems that way. Maybe we're imagining things, but could it have something to do with the angle of the sun? On a clear summer day, a winter day rather, it just seems brighter and clearer. Is there any significance to that, or is that, or are we just imagining it?
No, you're not imagining anything. It's just how the Earth works. It turns, it spins on its axis, but for the seasons, it wobbles. So at one time of year, it's getting direct sunlight or rays from the sun, and that's the summertime. That's when you can get your skin burnt. You can really damage yourself. However, in the wintertime, it's turning away from the sun. And that's why the southern hemisphere is in summertime while we are in winter. So that is one of the determining factors, how the rays of the sun hit the earth. And in the summertime is more direct. SL?
If one has the opportunity where they live to observe the sun on its, as it seems to rise every morning, say along a fixed mountain range, we see that it doesn't necessarily rise exactly in the West, or set rise in the East. That's sort of a generalization. It moves by degrees across, you know, at one time it seems to be rising a little north or south of the East, and it moves. So that sort of, that's the wobble you were speaking about. And so it reminds us that we can begin to study the cyclical effect of that inner light, that inner sun, or in our nature. It's not always the same. It will vary according to the days of the week, according to the days of the month. It'll wobble just like the sun does. And we can become as familiar with our own rising of the sun, its variations, as we are with the sun apparently rising on the horizon.
Yes, we think that's a very good correspondence and analogy. Yes, LP?
And one of the most important factors is how we respond to the outer or the inner impression. We are the variant. And until we really realize that, we're not really in control of our cycles.
Yes, we all have read this, the Bhagavad Gita, where we have to understand and know what these cycles bring, and how we can adjust them. ULT?
We thought the most curious part of the talk was the fact that we're always going through new areas of space that we've never been through. As a child, you know, we're taught about how the planets revolve around the sun, but at least we don't remember being told that the sun also revolves around another center in the galaxy, and that the galaxies are revolving too. So we talk about cycles, and that history, things tend to repeat themselves in history, tendencies, but yet it's a spiral. It's not an exact repeat. So we're forever, the imagination runs wild when we think about, wow, we're going through new areas all the time that we've never been through.
Yes.
And it's just, it is fascinating.
It certainly is fascinating, and one that you can dwell on for a long time, because it is, everything is moving. Everything from the molecules that come and go from our body, second by second and minute by minute, everything is moving, and that extends out to the universe in which we live in. And the idea that we're going into space that we have never been before, but everything has an influence. So, you know, yes, ULT.
Yes, and we read that the true astrology, the art and science of it, is really a lost art. That to actually calculate influences, you would have to calculate the whole dome of the sky, which would be billions and trillions, an infinite amount of possible influences to varying degrees. So that would involve, you know, occult physics and sciences that we're not privy to.
Yeah, well, we are influenced by the outer world, but we should be reminded that there are seven sacred planets that we have passed through, more or less, or have acquired qualities from them, and that they are our brothers and sisters. And so we are directly influenced by that that universe that we are living in. That's solar system. Yes, LP?
It's just that no matter what seeks to influence us, whether in our physical life or our astral life or the spiritual world, we decide if that influence will be manifest in us. So we have to always return to the source of our choosing, which is where our heart is placed. And that's something we are not encouraged by life to look at, just to follow our desires, not question them.
Well, it seems that is the spirit of the times. Our religions, even our sciences, have been fascinated with the outside world. And only are we reminded by the Hindu and the Buddhist that there is an inner world, and an inner world which we have not paid attention to. That soul life, that we are soul beings. So we know what we do to take care of the physical body, but what do we do to take care of that spiritual body? I think the question was asked earlier, you know, how can you bring it into your life? Well, you have to reach up for it. You have to put yourself in a different place mentally. And the easiest way of doing that is by reading theosophical books and ideas that will elevate your thinking. Take it from the personal and put it on the impersonal. That's where true knowledge lies. But we get tangled in that personal idea. And we think we are what we think. Yes, ULT.
Question at Theosophy Hall here.
Yes, you know, all we have to do is to realize that when we have been having many days of rainy, dark, overclouded days, how really dull we feel, and then all of a sudden the sun comes back out and we're all feeling cheerful and kindly and just feeling emotionally and spiritually better when the sun is out after a whole run of dreary, cloudy, dark days.
Okay.
We are the sunshine. We are the sunshine. And no matter what the day brings, it's what you bring to the day. You know, so again, we are mind beings and we live in our minds. So we create the world in which we live. There was a chat before we leave. I just don't want to ignore anyone. But the chat is, did ancient cultures worship the sun? Why did they have sun gods? Well, that is a perfect question for our morning class here. And we would point to the Egyptians. We would point to the Incas on their worship of the sun. You know, it's quite understandable that cultures grew up worshiping the sun, because the sun is the life giver. It gives everything life. So with that question, we'll end this short talk or short forum. And we invite you to come on Wednesday night. We are talking about the human constitution, the astral senses and powers. And also would like to remind you that the Lodge is financially sustained through financial contributions of time, service, and money. And all
Michael.
Bye.